Been a heck of a week last week. Heck of a week. Dryer went out. I don't know about you, but we haven't had a clothesline in my family in 40-some years. What else happened? The fan went out in the heater. That was okay Saturday day, but it got a little cold last night and the night before. Heater went out. Oh, I chipped another tooth, so I'm starting to look like a hockey player when I smile, so I try and go, show my good side. Hey, what's up? So that matches when I chipped on the other side. When you get old, I guess you don't take care of them. They just, one thing after another. Dishwasher went out. I don't know about you, but I haven't hand washed a dish in a long time, about 40 years again. Not really. But so all these things come against me. I thought, poor pitiful me. And then of all things, last night, you guys know I have a massive high-performance V6 Dodge Magnum with 209,000 miles. Yeah, I had to jumpstart it last night to get home. So I thought, oh, God, why have you come against me like this? And I thought, man, it's just, we get in this thing that thinks, poor, pitiful me. You know, I had to jumpstart my car. In the meanwhile, I see this guy walking down the street, or walking down I-40 with a backpack, taking a rest under a bridge. I thought, man, dishwasher went out. Big deal. You got water to wash them? Great. Oh, you had food to eat on it? Get over yourself, Adam. And I thought, man, oh, man, when we start thinking what a week we've had, and then we look around, we think, man, how blessed we are. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to be studying there today. And we're going to be talking about a letter Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and some things that he tried to warn them against. And I just thought, you know, God, how am I going to keep going with a broken dishwasher, a broken dryer, all these different things that went out? Man, I appreciate that. All right. You can even do it while I'm not home. We'll just leave the door unlocked. A young lady at my work, her sister died 2 weeks ago. And it came as a shock while she was at work and she left to, of course, go take care of business. And as I called her every day throughout the ordeal and until after the funeral, until she got back to work to check on her. And I caught myself one day saying, hey, Sahara, I just called to see how you're doing today. I knew she had just made arrangements for the funeral for her sister. And she said, I'm okay. How are you? Guess what? I took the bait. Man, it's been a rough day so far. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what are you talking about? Been a rough day. Yeah, been long. A lot of phone calls at work. I immediately took that bait of how are you and went into, oh, man, it's been a rough day. Been a long day. Thank God. God smacked me upside the head and said, Adam, it's not about you. It's not about you, Adam. And I said, but enough about me. Tell me what's going on. How can I help you? How can we help you at work as well? And I thought, it's so quick when we try and help somebody else that we turn it into ourselves. And we get focused on ourselves. And that's what 1 Corinthians 10 is kind of about. Paul is saying, hey, look, you've got all this Old Testament history to warn you and protect you and help you. Hello, Corinthian church, can you listen to me and take these warnings? And we seem to go past all that stuff. So I was a bit ashamed of myself when I bit that bait. How are you doing, Adam? She didn't really mean, how are you? That was just an automatic response. But I took it. Well, it's been kind of a rough day, been a long day, been real hard. Oh, anyway, enough about me, Sarah. And I got back into that. And I thought, man, we get into self so many times. And it should be an I'm third policy in our lives, and I'm third discipline in our lives, and I'm third thought process in our lives. God first, others second, self third. And I know there's a lot of debate going, well, I can't take care of others if I can't take care of myself. We get a little mixed up because real quick we'll bite the bait that it's all about us. I'm still fixing myself. I can't help you. I'm still trying to perfect myself. I can't help. I can't reach out to you because I'm still working on me. And immediately we turn it back into ourselves again. So it has to be an I'm third. God first, others second, self third. And that's what Paul talks about in here. When we read the first couple things in verse 1, Paul says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. It's a little scary. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Going back, talking about their years of wandering around. And just like the Israelites, Paul is trying to warn them and tell the Corinthian church as a warning to them. And we see the same thing thousands of years later. We do these things that honor Christ. But then we turn around and we do things that don't honor him. And he's not well pleased with us. God blesses us. He blesses other people. He delivers us from a life of sin that we used to live. And hopefully we have turned from and are in the process of turning from. We commune and we fellowship with one another. And then God turns around and says, but most of you, as it says here, but with most of them, God was not well pleased. Same thing's happening today. We do these things, but we have ourself that we focus on. And God says, I'm not well pleased. I'd prefer not to be one of those that gets scattered like God did the Israelites and scattered me about the wilderness. Reading on in verse 6, he says, now these things became our examples. Note to self, they became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. And just a quick clarification as we read that, we want to make sure that we're not idolaters focusing on idols. It's not adulterers. Okay, so focusing on idols. And that's what he's saying there, that we don't want to lust after these evil things. And we don't want to become idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. Verse 8 says, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. I don't know about you, but man, sexual immorality. 23,000 people in one day. God said, we still do those things today. We still do those things today. Paul's saying these are the examples we want to look out for. We don't want to focus on idols. And again, it's still happening. They were in the Corinthian church, the people at Corinth, as well as the Israelites in days of old. And they said, God has freed us. God has restored us. God has renewed us. And yet, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to worship this idol. God said, you can't do that. You can't say, oh, great is our God, and then turn around and worship your idol. And again, at the Corinthian church, they were doing that stuff. Still happening today. We may think, I don't have a golden calf in my living room, Adam. I'm not worshiping idols. No, but we have our stuff. We have our homes that have to be a certain way. We have our possessions. We have our vehicles. We have our high-performance V6 Dodge Magnums. That's hardly an idol to most. But we have our idols. Just because it's not a golden image or some other sacred thing of other religions doesn't mean that we don't still worship our idols and we don't focus and chase after those. Man, God is the rock of my salvation. By the way, got to go to work, got to get. Got to have, got to keep up. Where your four walls are, where you lay your head at night, let that be your home. Be happy, be proud of that, and let that be your home that you love and you take care of and you maintain. Amen? Sexual immorality, with the Israelites. Happening at the Corinthian church. Now, I don't know about you, but I just can't see that. But at the Corinthian church in the days of old, they were coming to worship God, and sexual immorality was going on in that church. Same thing's happening today in the present church. We can't have a relationship with God and engage in unbiblical sexual activity. We can't do that and then say, God, why haven't you blessed me? Well, he hasn't stricken me down yet. 23,000 Israelites in sexual immorality wiped out. I think in the church these days, we try and call it tolerance. We try and say, well, we tolerate it, you know. You've got to have tolerance. They've got to understand and know one another. I didn't read in here that God said, yeah, it's okay to get to know one another. He says, no, it's a sin. Still going on in the church. Verse 10, he says, and just before that, I'm sorry, he said, thousands fell, nor let any tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Verse 10, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Israelites, thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of them, complaining. They were worshiping idols, sexual immorality, complaining against the leadership. Still going on in the church today. God consumed 14,700 of them just for complaining. I have to duct tape my mouth shut to not be stricken in that. It's hard, people. It's hard not to do. But he says right here, man, I'm doing this thing to warn you as an example of the punishment of Jesus Christ. As punishment. Verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. For no temptation has overcome or overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Oh, looks like a little bit of hope here. But at first he said, hey, don't be too full of yourself, because you're going to fall. Be very careful with that stuff so you don't fall. Gives us a little hope there. They had the attitude that they were justified by God. Nothing could happen to them, and that they could go out and do these things. Why? Because they had a new freedom in Christ. And sometimes we do that. I have freedom in Christ, and therefore I can go do this stuff, possibly even in the name of Christ. Watch out lest you fall. And then in 13 he says, no temptation is overtaking you that isn't common to man. We're all tempted. Some more than others, some in different areas than others. But we have to hold still, and we have to stay grounded and know where our strength comes from. Written examples for paths that we don't follow. Paul's just saying, you don't want to get cocky in yourself. Don't want to get too safe. Don't want to think, hey, I can go there. Even when we're trying to witness to other people. When we're trying to witness to other people, we can go down a dark trail, a dark valley, and think, no, I am a Christian, been there for years. I can pull them out. That tow truck couldn't get them out, but I can get them out. This congregation, this family couldn't get them out, but I can get them out. Why? Oh, I've had years of experience. I'm grounded. I know Christ. He's on my side. Many people have been sucked off the light path into the dark path, thinking the same thing. We have to look for and take that escape that he makes available. When we're in temptation and things are coming against us, says he will give us a way out. We have to look for that. I've heard of people praying before when they've been in affairs, in marriages. I just prayed that God would divorce them so I could go off and marry them. Oh my gosh, that's wrong thinking. You're praying that God will help you in an adulterous situation by divorcing that couple so you can have that person all to yourself. I thought, man, how do we get so mixed up? And I thought, because we're not grounded, first of all. We don't read and we're not knowledgeable. Most of all, because we're selfish. We're greedy. Not all of us. I am. I'm selfish and greedy. I like to think it's because he just said it's common to man, but I think it's just because I'm selfish and greedy. And I prayed to God take away my selfishness and my self-centeredness and my pride and remove those things from me. And that's why I tell you, this has no superpower for me up here. I fall. I stumble. I get bruised. But as I told you over 6 months ago, I want to smell just like you do, and I assure you, I do. I stink. I reek sometimes. But I pray for God's forgiveness in those times. In our freedom, in verse 23, we're going to skip ahead a little bit. In verse 23, God tells us, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. It's very important that we pay attention to that phrase, or actually to this whole verse. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. In our freedom in Christ, we have to be so careful with our responsibility to one another and to Christ and to the body and to the universal church. We have to be careful of those things. They walked around saying, I'm free in Christ. I can do these things. In the name of Christ Jesus, I'm doing these. Or, not in the name of Christ, I'm doing these. I'm just doing these because Jesus Christ has saved me. I know I'm going to heaven. I already got that ticket. It doesn't matter where I go now. And we do that sometimes. I've already got the free ticket. Just so long as I make that train at the end. Oh, by the way, I have my ticket. It says they're going to come find me. I don't even have to go looking for it. Doesn't matter what I do with my time. I can stroll all about. They're going to come find me when it's time to go. They're going to come find me. I don't even have to pay attention to where I go. We've done that before on Ground Zero trips. Everybody have a watch. You be here at 3 o'clock. It's 3:10. We're going, my goodness, where are they? We're looking all over a mall up in Tulsa for these people. 15, 20 minutes later, what in the world? You got a watch on, did you not? Just lost track of time. Well, guess what we do? We still do it in the church. Sorry, God, lost track of time. We're just having fun. But even though it's lawful, even though we're free to do these things in Christ, we have a great responsibility. Verse 25, eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. They had a big thing saying, well, was it holy? Was it cleansed? Was it this? Was it that? He said, you don't have to worry about that stuff. You don't have to focus on that stuff. Man, I'm providing for you. You don't have to worry about that. If they put it in front of you, here you go. Eat it up. And I just think, you know, in that freedom it talks about in verse 24, going back up, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. When we get in that self-centered state, I, Nemo's great, mine. We get in that state and we always think it's ours. And we're competing against God. I remember in Exodus 3:14, Moses asked, who sent me? And what did God reply? God replied, I am who I am. You tell them that I am has sent you. And that's all caps. I-A-M. I am. But we replace that with a small A-M. I am. And I just feel like we want to compete with God. God has said, this is my name forever. I am. And we get out there and we say, I am lost. Man, God, I don't know where to go. I am lost. What did Jesus say? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Man, I am ashamed of myself. We're competing. I am. I am ashamed of myself. And Jesus said what? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. We don't have to be ashamed anymore. We don't have to carry that around anymore. I am the resurrection and the life. We have new life in Him. Amen? I am lonely. Man, I am so lonely. Even amid all these people, at church, at work, at school, man, I am so lonely. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branch. Any branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But he tells us we are part of that. Abide in me is what he tells us. Man, I've had these things happen to me, and God, I am so sad. I am me. I am so sad. Jesus said, man, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. We don't have to be sad and lonely and hungry and thirsty. We have Jesus. It's fine, God, but man, I'm really angry. I'm angry. This has happened to me. I'm angry. Someone did this to me. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. You don't have to worry about being angry and upset. Because Jesus Christ came and said, I will give my life for you, for the sheep. Man, I'm offended. God, I am offended. Work, school, home, church, these people or this person has offended me. And Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. We have to enter by Jesus Christ. And then we compete and say, God, you don't get it, man. See, God, I'm hurt. And I'm not hurt here. Man, I'm hurt down in here. I mean, I'm hurt, God. You don't get it. I mean, I know you're the great I am, but you just don't seem to get it. You can't possibly know the hurt I feel down in here, God. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not may not, but shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He who follows me, when we go to rescue somebody, if we follow Jesus Christ and don't get sucked into our own selfish temptation, but we follow him, we will not, shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. See, the problem is we're walking in the state of me, in the state of I am, little I am, not the great I am that we sing about and talk about and read about and should by now know about. We are living in the I am. You ever walk out of the house and your head just hangs low, and that's the start of your day? We have to walk with our head up high, no matter who or what we are right now, and we have to focus on the great I am. I struggle just like you guys, and probably a lot more than some of you guys, day in and day out, trying to keep myself afloat, keep myself up. This happened, that happened, this happened, that happened. Work, home, church, whatever it is. And you guys do the same thing. Work, home, church, whatever it is. Relatives, whatever. We just struggle with those things coming at us. God first, others second, self third. I'm third on the list. I'm third. In closing, verse 31 through the end there says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Amen. Do all for the glory of God. Do all for the glory of Adam. No. Been there, done that. Confession, been there, done that. Do all for the glory of me. And look at me. And I pray to God, God, humble me. Break me of that prideful way. Do all for the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, I miss the mark. I'm sorry. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And the first line of chapter 11 says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Again, we have to restrict our freedom. That's a hard thing to do. God has given you freedom to do anything, to do all this. But man, you have to restrict it so as not to offend people. That's hard to say. I have freedom, but I have to restrict it. Sounds almost backwards. Galatians 5:22, you don't have to turn there. It's the fruits of the Spirit. And in the fruits of the Spirit, when we want to restrict our freedom, we think about the joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And at the very end, what does he put? Self-control. I hear it being whispered. Self-control. Oh, man, God, we're doing good until you put in self-control. Oh. Could it be the 8 fruits of the Spirit? Please. Please, God, anything but self-control. No, because God knew that's where we struggle, because it's all about self. Being intentional people means we have to put forth an intentional effort to have an intentional outcome. This year we need to work on being intentional, being imitators of Christ. God first, others second, self third. I want to tell you this quick story. Some of you have heard it before. But there was a church secretary. She was fixing a bulletin for a funeral they were having, preparing a funeral service. And the lady's name was Edna. And the previous funeral at the church was for a woman named Mary. Secretary thought, man, this would be easy. I'm simply going to recall the earlier worship form in the computer and use the search and replace function to substitute Edna for Mary. Now, let me just stop there. When I first read this, I'm like, you can do a search and replace on the computer? Yeah, I know. It's all I can do to open email, read it, and respond. That's the first thing that stood out in this story to me. Like, I'll be doggone. Okay, I digress. I'm sorry. So there's a search and replace function on the computer, guys. Anyway, so she said, I'll just replace Edna, put in Edna where it used to say Mary. And imagine how surprised the pastor was as they do the service, they get ready for that. The congregation recited the funeral liturgy. And then in the line in the Apostles' Creed, it said, born of the Virgin Edna, instead of born of the Virgin Mary. I thought, oh. Accidents happen all the time. Children spill their milk. Teenagers have fender benders. Shortstops make errors. And secretaries misspell words. Bosses make mistakes in hiring and in firing. And it's said to err is human, right? What's that next line? To forgive is divine. Let's have high ideals. Let's be forgiving when those ideals are not met. Okay, let's do that as a church body. Let's learn to forgive each other when the mark isn't met. And I'm going to miss the mark, and you're going to miss the mark. And we're going to forgive each other, and we're going to move on. And we're going to do all these things to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you so much for showing up in this place. We thank you for being a loving God. We thank you for your word that gives us instructions and directions, gives us examples of past, so that our current doesn't have to take the same struggles, the same journeys, but that we can have an example set for us of how to live, how to behave, how to speak. If you're here today and you're just thinking, man, I need to put others on top of myself, I need to have God first in my life, would you just raise up your hand if you're struggling to have God first in your life? My hand's up as well. Yeah, keep going. Just put your hands up. Thank you. If you need God first in your life, you've been more about self. Now maybe you need to put others in front of yourself. Would you raise your hands also? If you need to put others, my hand's up as well again, guys. You need to put others before yourself. Raise your hands. Thank you. And then finally, God, let us just take care of ourselves. Let us take care of ourselves. Let us grow. But let us grow together. Let us help others out. Father, thank you for those that raised their hand. God, thank you for recognizing where we fall short. God, we thank you so much for the grace and mercy that you shed on each one of us. Because we know, Lord, that you can and you have scattered people in the wilderness, and you can scatter us in the wilderness as well. Lord, help us to be an intentional church, an intentional church body that puts forth effort for a different outcome this year. To be imitators of Christ, to be reflective light of the love of Jesus Christ. God, as we go out this week, would you just help guide and guard our actions towards one another, our words towards one another, so that we can reflect the love of Christ. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.